Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. It is a Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and we welcome you to what is a three-hour extravaganza. The first 2 hours of the show, as we always remind you, have taken place solely on ESPN 97.5. But if you want to catch what you missed, all you got to do is go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, catch up on the 2 hours that you missed there. And while you're there, if you download the app, the ESPN 975 app, therefore, you have it with you. You take us everywhere and anywhere that you go and never miss another portion of a show.
There you go.
With that, Nick here.
Ho, ho, ho.
Barry and myself on a Wednesday. Nick getting ready for...
Ryman, don't you know?
Viva Las Vegas.
Yep.
Nick Sell will be leaving after today, although we all actually thought he left prior to today's show.
Leaving the big show to go hang out with the not-so-big show. Just disgusting. I don't know. He's not even listening. It's fine. He's focused. Yeah. He's focused. Yeah. It's fine. Right. We're good.
So go ahead.
A couple of things. This John Wetland story is, I almost cursed just now because it is bleeping disgusting. If you didn't hear about this, former MLB pitcher, all-star.
MVP of the World Series.
John Wetland, former Ranger, and I don't know where Yankee. Else he pitched. Yeah, Yankee. Arrested for child sex abuse, which is terrible. But then when I read that according to a consolidated complaint and probable cause affidavit, Wetland is accused of having a child perform a sex act on him beginning in 2004 when the child was 4 years old. The accuser said it happened twice more during a 2-year period. If this is, you know, and of course all this is allegedly, if true, just go ahead and just get rid of the dude. That's a garbage human being.
I got a 3-year-old daughter.
Garbage.
I read the story. As I got into the details just after the headline, I'm going, you know what, man? That dude right there, there's Bleak no excuse dude. For that. There is, yeah. There's
under the jail.
A very big spot in hell for you, man.
And you know, this. Speaking of that, on my way in, I actually put it on Twitter, but on my way in, I was listening to the radio. Actually, on my way to go get my haircut, I was listening to Satellite, Sirius XM Satellite, channel 49, XM Fly, or whatever
yeah,
it is, XM, 47.
I saw your tweet, yeah.
Rolling around, bumping it. Next song on, R. Kelly, Bump and Grind. I was like, why? I thought we were all over this. I think as a country, I thought we came together and said, okay, we're not going to play this dude's music anymore, at least until this is all settled, because, again, all signs point to garbage human being. Why is he getting any run right now? Just disgusting. So I don't.
Especially when the Pussycat Dolls, who probably could use the money, actually stepped up and said, we want any spot, wherever it is, Spotify, iTunes, whatever it is, get that song of the duet we did with R. Off. Kelly, get it off. You know, Lady Gaga said, get rid of it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. I already said to you in the documentary, John Legend and others coming out saying, you got to go.
And when I was watching it, I was really excited to see John Legend taking a stand like that and to see Tom Joyner taking a stand. I think you've got to have more men come out and stand up to this because, again, it goes back to the Me Too movement and this Mute R. Kelly movement and the fact that there are people out there that are just going, oh, those girls are lying. They were just in it for the fame. They're just – you've got – I'm never going to, you know, there's always bad people in this world. And are there women out there that would accuse a man of doing something he wouldn't do? Absolutely. But damn it, we have to believe women. Until we're proven otherwise, and it's got to be on a case-by-case basis, you just believe women. I mean, that's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Why do you not?
And if you don't, because Nick and I were talking about this the other day. Outside a studio in Chicago this weekend, there were protesters. And then a Bentley and a Cadillac SUV rolled down all the windows, pulled up, played his music loud as can be, and also used a megaphone to sing with it. One was a pastor of a church and was trying to get them to go home. It's like, it's a documentary for a reason. There's video proof. There's testimonials. There's people who are saying, I was this age. This happened. Nick and I were talking about the video, and I don't know if you caught up on it or not, but the actual mother who rescued her 17-year-old daughter from a hotel room traveling with him on the road.
Yeah.
What more proof do you need?
It's it's, you know, when you have, if it was one person, and again, you go back to, and Nick has brought this up several times, the Aaliyah case. You look at the video of him allegedly, and it, to me, as a personal opinion, that's him in the video. He said it was his brother.
And even his brother said it wasn't him.
Yeah, peeing on a 14-year-old girl. But then we're all just like, oh, well. And then so TMZ caught up with Dave Chappelle and D.L. Hughley and asked Chappelle about him making fun of the peeing on a girl video. And Chappelle was kind of avoided a little bit. D.L. Hughley kind of took it on more directly. But this is what Chappelle said to TMZ.
Hey, Dave, do you wish you would have talked to the surviving R. Kelly people given everything that's happened now?
You're trunk open.
Or do you stand by and not talking?
Jesus, but I just had dinner. Stop bringing up no.
How about your old bit on the Chappelle show? You know, people will say that it may be insensitive given everything that's come out now. Do you stand by that still?
I don't know. I have to watch it again.
You know.
Now, okay, we're going to get to D.O. Hughley in a second, but that's Chappelle avoiding the question. I don't know. I'll have to get it again. I'll have to watch it again. You were there, homie. You wrote it. What are you talking about? You have to watch it again. You know what you did. So, you know, he's probably like...
And that's a guy that's not afraid to attack and take on just about anything. And he's
I think he feels running a little bit. But then TMZ got D.O. Hughley, same car. I think they were riding together. And asked him about Michael Jackson and R. Kelly. And D.O. Hughley said this.
You know, they're pulling R. Kelly stuff off the internet, right?
Right.
All the streaming stuff.
Right.
So what do you think about the Michael Jackson doc coming out, Finding Neverland?
I think if you mad at R. Kelly, you should be mad at Michael Jackson.
So do you think they'll be pulling his streaming songs off?
I think they're going
to
pretend, like, you've known what you've known for a long time. And to pretend like you know it now is more insulting than not knowing it. Like, ultimately, they're great singers but horrible babysitters, so I listen to their music, but I never drop my kids off.
Wow.
Which is a great way to answer.
It was
well said. I mean, that's a great way. That's a comedian that, I mean, Chappelle was obviously deflecting.
Yeah.
But D.O. Hughley, you know, I'm sure he had that joke and he had been thinking about that or at least said it once. But it's a great way to put it from a comedian. You would expect to hear a take basically saying, yeah, they're garbage people. And we know that. We just, for whatever reason, we decided to look the other way. But they are garbage people if it's true and you knew it. And then a funny spin on it, but I thought that was
And the fact that they think they literally someone said it, and at first you go, no, no one really does, but they think they're invincible because when you think about it and think the court case,
yeah.
He picks up the teenage girl while he's on trial for sexually assaulting teenage girls. He picks her up after he's found innocent, but the very next day when he's told to stay away from children and not be out in the public, he's at a massive church in Chicago singing I Believe I Can Fly with a child chorus around him.
Man.
He just thinks he's above it.
Somebody just texted, don't spoil anything about the R. Kelly thing. I just started it. Bro. It didn't come out last night, so I don't. It's a little late. We're gonna talk about it. And then somebody said, "I saw you at Chipotle, Barry." What? How come you didn't say hi?
Really?
I wasn't eating. I got it to go. Should have said hi. But okay.
Come on.
You want to talk to G about R. Kelly?
Sure.
G has thoughts about R. Kelly. G, what's up, man? G.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I just have a question though. What does R. Kelly have to do with women, though? Because it seems like a lot of times in this country, like when these issues arise, like, same thing with Harvey Weinstein. It was Harvey Weinstein, and then all of a sudden it was Bill Cosby. He was the face of this. And it seems like the same thing is happening now. You know, R. Kelly is a piece of trash. Don't get me wrong, but it's not. I mean, it just seems like it's weird. I just wanted to get you guys thoughts on that.
I mean, okay. I think I understand what G was implying there.
I mean,
And G, I think, and I could be wrong, but it felt like G was saying that anytime that we start talking about a white guy doing it, we got to bring up a black guy doing it. G, my thought is the same, regardless of the color of their skin. They're all garbage human beings. R. Kelly just happens to be the name in the public right now talking about sexual abuse. John Wetland was a story that came out. It was a four-year-old. Whether you think about it or not, R. Kelly peed on a 14-year-old. Both of them are
sexual
disgusting.
Abuse of a child.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this, but there's actually a series right now on the TV going on about it. And trust me, we've talked about Harvey Weinstein on this show. We've talked about Kevin Spacey. We've talked about
the other comedian, Louis C.K.
Yeah, I mean, valiant effort, but that race has nothing to do with it. You're talking about garbage ass people. Nothing
to do
with
the
race.
I will say this: you can blame the media because we obviously talk about what's going viral on Twitter. What's the big headline on the biggest website? So, to a certain extent, you can blame the media. But yeah, if it's the biggest story and it happens to be a white guy, if it happens to be a black guy, we're going to talk about it. So, I don't think it has anything to do with.
Somebody said, "Hey, you guys brought up Michael Jackson. That's a white guy."
That's pretty funny. Can I say this too, Nick? The same way people want to blame the media, in this case, you could be thanking the media because this guy was going to be doing this and doing it for a long period of time until the media or an extension of the media brought this documentary to television. Yeah. And because of viewing it, the Cook County department decided to reopen the case outside of Chicago, and they're going to get him and maybe get him off the street so he doesn't do it to someone else's child.
And by the way, G, that dude got a pass for how many years after he peed on that girl?
And don't she's not the only
Michael
girl.
Michael Jackson got a complete pass.
Yeah.
She's not the only girl, man. That's what I'm saying from the documentary. Look at how many people have stepped up.
Instead of saying that that it's become a race issue, I would suggest that you start standing up for these women, including these African-American women.
I would agree
that
with
appear
that.
To allegedly be
and
victims.
And we can make the argument that we're off the hook because we're not making the big headlines on ESPN. When Zeke is the biggest headline on ESPN because of potential or alleged domestic violence situations, or any football player is. We're not the reason why that popped up.
No. Well, we talk about everything and everybody on this show. It just so happens that right now, the two guys in the news, the most recent ones that we've seen, was John Wetland and a four-year-old and R. Kelly. So, sorry.
There you have it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hey, we'll talk some sports. We'll keep covering the topics that are on top of mind. Within reason, both sports and otherwise, it's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Did you know? The Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, year number 2, is in full swing. I know you're trying to get in shape for the holidays, for the new year. The fitness journey is always easier with friends, so join us. Hit up that 2019 Weight Loss Challenge. Work out, get in shape, compete with other Usual Suspects listeners, and have some fun while you do it. It's brought to you by Vortex Texas and Breathe More Training Center. And the Y Factor. And we want you to be involved because we want you to get healthy. This is the week to weigh in. This is it. You started on Monday. If you weighed in already, you're in. You're good to go. You're in the contest. If you have not weighed in yet, but maybe you sent us your email or you let us know on Twitter, hey, I want in. The only official way to get in this contest is to go weigh in. And to do that, you can go to any of the Man Center's locations around the city, or you can come up here to the Gal Media Studios and weigh in. To find your nearest location for the Man Center's or the studio, go to ESPN975.com. All of the information for weigh-ins, the contest, and everything else is right there. That's ESPN975.com. There's weight classes involved. There's prizes, including a really great staycation at the Houstonian. So make sure you get your weigh-in done so you are officially entered. And good luck to everybody. We appreciate you joining, and we hope you guys get healthy and happy and lose some weight and maybe have more sex.
That's right. We want you to participate.
That's the reason.
Pastor Creighton.
Hey.
I'm not...
My mic was on?
If you lose weight and you're healthy, oh, good. If your cholesterol goes down, okay, fantastic. You fit better and you look better, great. But if you have more sex, I'm in. That's the reason.
And that's you can actually see what you're using to have sex, which means that to your theory of lose pounds and gain inches.
Oh, that's not a theory, my friend. That's science. For every 50 pounds you lose, you gain an inch.
She blinded me.
That is fact.
And that's the thing. You've heard about this now, and everybody's going, whoa, well, it's not too late. What Barry just told you means, hey, all week. You got all week, but this is it. So you can still sign up. You can get weighed in, and you can get ready to go. So it's fantastic.
Yeah. So do it. Andrew wants to talk R. Kelly, and then we're going to move on, right?
Yeah,
okay. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Listen to you guys every day. Like the show pretty much every day. Sometimes, some things are said, like a comment you made earlier, Barry. In no way, shape, or way, form do I condone any of the actions that he's being accused of. But it really scares me when people say things like, we have to believe women, no questions asked, no matter what. I don't agree with you there, man. They're guilty until proven innocent. You can have your opinion, but at the same time, you're walking a really... really fine line there when you throw things out there like that, saying, hey, what, no matter what, we have to believe a woman. I don't agree with you there, man. I'll hang up
to no, I appreciate it, Andrew, and that's fine. The point of believing women isn't to say that person is guilty, but if you deny women's voices and saying, I was raped by this guy or this guy sexually assaulted me, then there's no chance of that person ever going to trial and being put on trial and being found innocent or guilty. Believing women isn't a conviction. It's not saying whether the man or whoever involved is innocent or guilty. It's believing their story enough to look into it.
Yes, the process.
It's believing their story enough to look at the facts and the evidence and decide if it's true and if that person needs to be brought to trial. Believing women has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. It's about believing the woman's story until you find out otherwise.
Right. I don't want to speak for you, but because I got what you were saying. But the thing is, you want to be able to start the process. If you turn a blind eye to it and just don't believe the woman... then the process never begins.
And it's been like that in this country for a long time. And in the past, I mean, I'll say this, all right? My mother, and I told this story before, but my mom was a secretary for a company that's no longer around. Very, very big, powerful company in this city. And she told me, now as an adult, she told me stories about when she was a secretary, her boss would literally chase her around her desk trying to touch her and grope her. And if she told anyone, do you know what they would tell her? That didn't happen. That's not true. That's what I mean by believing women. Not, you don't just, if a woman tells you this person sexually assaulted me or molested me, you don't just go, nah, that's not true. That's a great guy. Harvey Weinstein, great dude. R. Kelly, with that voice, he's not out here having sex with 16-year-olds and peeing on 14-year-olds. No way. Just believe him, man. It's not a solid guilt or innocence thing. It's just about believing their story enough to look into it.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Now we can move on.
Yes, we can.
Let's get back to a little bit more football. News of the day, too, as we kind of roll through football. And we're going to get to Ash in a minute. But the big news of the day, shocker in the NFL, that may be a shocker, may not be. But owner of the Panthers says Cam Newton's shoulder still giving him problems. And it's not out of the realm of possibilities. He sits out all of next season. That would be a shocker.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And you have the whole offseason right now. That's got to be something really serious, or you've got all these months ahead where you can do some things to make some things happen to make sure he's okay.
It's crazy, man.
I never expected to hear that this
I didn't
morning.
Either. When I saw the headline, I was like, ooh, that's not good.
No, that's crazy. Yeah. And then we also know that all these positions are being filled. Greg Williams is officially the D coordinator for the Jets. Gary Kubiak, still a consultant on the offensive side of the ball with the Vikings. His son is now the quarterback's coach. But with that, Ashton wants to get in here on a job that's still open, and that would be the Jacksonville Jags offensive coordinator position. What's up, Ashton?
Yo, what's up, guys? The one thing I really wanted to point out, and if this turns out to be true, people are talking about John DeFilippo getting that position, and I find it hilarious because it just proves why the Jaguars are going to be a two-win team for, like, the next 5 years. They're a run-heavy team because they have Leonard Fournette, right? Yep. And they can't depend upon anybody to consistently throw the ball. And John DeFilippo lost his job literally mid-season because he refused to run the ball with Dalvin Cook. It makes no sense.
I'll tell you, I appreciate the call, Ashton, and thank you for hanging in there, man. I know we took a second to get to you, but appreciate it. I'll tell you why it does make sense. He's got ties to Tom Coughlin. He was with the Giants organization. That's Coughlin knows what he's getting into, and it may speak to, you know, I don't know, maybe a philosophy change. And don't sleep on the fact that they're not going to go out and rectify the situation with Blake Bortles. That may have a lot to do with it, too. It's like, hey, let's get a coach that wants to work with and figure out who needs to be the quarterback for this team. And so this is my guy. I trust him. I've worked with him in the past. We'll let him build the kind of offense he wants to build. They've got a good O-line, or a decent O-line. They didn't play great this year. They've got a decent O-line. They've got a good running back. You know, I think they could use an upgrade at receiver as well.
Couple things. One, you're right. And this is just like when we talk about an NBA coach or a college coach or a pro coach wants to get his guys. Coughlin came in, and yet he's not the GM. He's above him. Yeah. But he trusts his guy. That's why Keenan's going to stick with him, because he was a receiver for – Keenan was a receiver for Coughlin when Coughlin was the coach of the Jags. So you're right. DeFilippo's the guy they bring in. And then in terms of the Bortles situation, I think this is where you say, go get your guy, but your guy isn't Blake Bortles anymore, so we're going to look at all those guys that are out there, whether it be a Teddy Bridgewater on the free agent market or Joe Flacco or whatever the case may be. If Eli, which was one of his guys – is set free by the Giants if they make a move in the draft with Haskins or otherwise, that he's going to try and get his guys in there. And so maybe that's a way of saying, hey, this was the culture before, but we're going to give you all the tools so that you can change the culture now, and hopefully he learns something in Minnesota.
Speaking of that, 2016, 2017, guess where he was a quarterback's coach?
DeFilippo?
Yeah, Philly.
Oh.
Guess who might be or is going to be up for a free agent
Nick
and
Foles.
A move? Absolutely.
That's
a good call. Lot of people gave him credit for helping Nick Foles become who he is. So I think this is it appears, and Ashton makes a ton of sense about it. It looks like a boneheaded move up on the surface, but maybe Coughlin is playing chess. And it's not chess. He's just like, okay, before we go make a run at a quarterback, which we know we need to address, let's build the infrastructure first, because that is the most important position we have to
fill. And think about this. If you're Nick Foles, too, why it makes even more sense is because the two teams that are rumored out there were the Jags and the Giants.
Yeah.
You're a legend in Philly. You want to know the one way that you could screw all that up? Go play in their division. Yep. And go play against them and see if they turn on you no matter what you've brought to that city. They're going to make sure that they give you hell, and you're a pressure cooker from a media standpoint in New York. Jacksonville, don't think it's a pressure cooker from a media standpoint, although we've heard those guys on their talk show with some of the NFL reporters. But overall, if you get to a more relaxed situation, you stay out of the Eagles' division, and you've got a defense – and you've got some weapons around you, including a running game, which is important for Foles because he's not going to run around a lot, and you want balance. It's a pretty good situation for him.
It is. Do you think it makes him a favorite to win the division next year if they get Foles?
You got the Colts in that division, brother, and they're looking at one guy in particular.
And
the Houston Texans.
All right, but you know where, if you wanted to bet on that, if you wanted to get action on the Jags winning the division, the AFC South, you could go to MyBookie and do it. They've got anything and everything if you want to get action on the game. MyBookie.ag is the online destination for that action on just about any game that exists out there. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been around for a long time. All things you want to look for when you're trying to have some extra action on games. What I recommend the most about them, what I like the most about them, and why I recommend them, is because when you win, they pay you. Oh, novel concept, right? Something you would think would just be a given. Not in that business. A lot of these folks will give you the runaround and make you jump through a lot of hoops. Not with MyBookie. When you win, they pay you. And they've got a ton of stuff to do, too, when you're there on MyBookie.ag. In-game live betting, player perks, some of the best in the business, too, when it comes to the player perks. I told you about it. Most of the football season, And I'm sure some of you got in on it. You can bet the over-under on fantasy points on a player would score each game. How cool is that? They've got a ton of stuff for you. Check it out. MyBookie.ag. And when you sign up, use promo code radio. They'll match your first deposit by 50%. That's called free money, you. That's free money. Get it. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Get that 50% match and have some fun with it. It's MyBookie. It's super easy to get to. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes to go on the big show. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride on Sports Map 94.1, ESPN 97.5. As we look at, we were talking some football before the break. We were kicking some things around. So Jason Garrett, by the way, quickly, I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
Jerry Jones went out and did his normal radio show in Dallas yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Basically said that if Jason Garrett was on the open market right now, if the Cowboys made a move and Jason Garrett was a free agent coach, he would have no less than five offers from teams quickly. Are you kidding me?
Well, he didn't say as a head coach. Maybe he would as a coordinator.
Even as a coordinator, man. Where is it? Five. I said five, Barry, not one. Arizona's not going to call and make another mistake. They already have Kingsbury. Five.
Yeah, that seems a little much.
There I would think so.
You think five of the eight teams would have been on the prowl for a Jason Garrett?
Honestly, if they hadn't failed so miserably going offense the last time, Miami maybe. But even then, I just don't, and because Miami's not known for making a lot of great decisions, but I just don't see it. Five.
Well, I mean, and he was there at Miami a long time ago. So I could see that. But yeah, I wanted to see his winning percentage because I was, like I told you, I was messing with Jerry Rocha over text lines. Like, man, he must have nudes because he sticks around and he's obviously a yes man. The dude has won 56.6% of his games.
Thanks to his players.
He's 77-59.
Okay.
I mean,
based on what he's done lately, and we talk about this too, because the other guy we brought up last segment was DeFilippo. DeFilippo, until he got fired from Minnesota, was going to be interviewing for all eight of those jobs that were open in the NFL this offseason.
Yeah.
And the minute that went by the wayside, he got fired and Kirk Cousins got roasted, it was like, yeah, that dude's not going to be our head coach.
Yeah. But I looked it up in comparison. Jason Garrett at 56%, 56.6, mm-hmm. Billy O, 52.5.
But I asked you this yesterday, and you agreed with me. If you were to tell Cowboys fans right now you guys get to trade coaches,
they would do it.
Cowboys fans would be all over it. Texans fans would be like, eh.
I think Texans fans might be all over it, too. I think.
Bro, you think about a guy that's an athletic, strong-armed quarterback that you think is getting underutilized and maximized by Billy O, and then you're going to take a guy that just took Dak Prescott and went, eh.
Yeah. Right. I wish I could have had a better argument, but I don't.
I like it. And then there's this. Antonio Brown won't get out of the news. And now his old offensive coordinator, who's now the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, has been interviewed and said essentially on the Antonio front, he said, there's just too much miscommunication, too much diva. He said it on Adam Schefter's podcast. I've heard so many stories. I like Antonio. I think he plays as hard as anybody on Sundays, and he practices hard. He's just got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do the little things.
And AB came out firing, and he's upset. And then So did you see the back and forth between him and Emmanuel Sanders?
That just came out today.
Yeah, El Jefe tagged us. He didn't draft. So this is Antonio Brown on Twitter. He said, he didn't draft me. He drafted E. Sanders 10. Same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on situations he have zero clue. Arians now wears Kangos, hats, and glasses, but I'm a diva. Done seen it all. Then they say we friends, stop lying. And then Emmanuel Sanders fires back. And he says to AB, you know damn well I didn't travel to L.A. to talk about you, fam. You tripping. I want to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic, and I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself.
And here's the other thing.
You played yourself.
Take that, and then also just parlay it with Ryan Clark. Because you could, if Antonio Brown really had a
call
case.
Call him an Uncle Tom.
Yep. But really, other than that, he never went to the topics at hand. He never addressed exactly what Ryan, because Ryan Clark cut through the crap and just said, let me tell you something. This is a track record with this guy. This is locker room issues with this guy. This is an issue with Ben Roethlisberger with this guy. And from Ryan Clark's perspective, in which he's paid to give his opinion, he said, I don't think he's going to be with the Steelers next year. And I don't think he should be.
That's the thing with Antonio Brown is he never seems to address the actual situation.
Right.
It's all the periphery. It's all the extra stuff, the side talk that's going on. It's never the situation head on.
Right.
At this point, I agree with Bruce Arians, and if I'm any GM in the NFL, you really have to think about, would you want this cat on your team? Would you really want to make a move for him, give up a prospect or a draft pick? Or what do you do? If you're the Steelers, do you want this dude? But these people are probably looking at that. Very few teams can look at it and go, yeah, we can manage that. Why the hell did I blank on?
You're talking about Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, if Mike Tomlin can't manage him and that locker room, and he's a player's coach through and through. They love that dude. If that's wearing, who's
yeah,
left?
And the other thing is, think about all the things that Tomlin's had to endure this year with the Le'Veon Bell situation, with this ongoing Antonio Brown situation, with the fact that, one, he was filming him in the post-game interviews and things like that instead of listening and being attentive, and then he's putting it on social media. Now this stuff, we talked about it the other day, the Dances with the Stars, followed by he was just on another game show, followed by he's all Hollywood all the time. When do you focus on your craft? Because the last time you took two guys in a locker room that I can remember with local ties and said, but you guys can make it work, Dwight Howard, James Harden.
How'd
that work out for you?
Exactly.
You don't want another year of this, so something's got to give.
Yep.
All right, we'll continue to go. We've got one segment left in the show, and then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz, and they're going to do their last show from here before they go there and head off to Vegas and take Nick with them. We're going to be back with the final segment. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final segment, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Fred and AJ after us. They'll take you home all the way till 7 o'clock. And then I assume you guys are departing this evening, Nicholas?
He's on the phone. They are. I think their flight leaves at 8 or something.
Ooh, Blitz is cutting it tight.
Well, no, him and Pete Crate, I think, are on the same flight.
Oh, and then Fred and AJ are going after that. All right, so we'll hopefully get some reports from Nicholas along the way once he gets to where he's going to stay.
Yep.
We were talking to Antonio Brown previous segment, giving you a little bit of the extra drama that's been going on with him, and Juan wants to get in here and talk about AB. Juan, what is up?
What's up from Denver? Hey, speaking of drama, who else but the Cowboys would want that? I don't know if it's possible, but that's what I would think. I mean, Jerry Jones, just no, only, what, bad publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. So What do you think about that? Is it possible? And as always, love the show.
Appreciate you, Juan, man. Stay warm out there.
I'll give you one. I'll give you two.
Okay.
One, guess who just gave the Cowboys their number one receiver? I see what you did there.
Dong.
Guess who gave the Cowboys their receiver?
Oakland.
Yeah. They're going to need a receiver.
Yeah.
Or two. He likes California. He likes to be close to Hollywood. He likes to be out in that lifestyle.
Yeah, but does he like Derek Carr more than he likes
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
But Jimmy Garoppolo's coming off an injury.
Yeah.
And Gruden might get his own guy because you know he likes to tinker with quarterbacks. But that's one. Yeah. Here's the other one, just so you know it's been surfacing. Green Bay's got money.
Really?
And not only do they have money, there's been a couple articles that have surfaced. Who do you want more, Bell or Brown?
Oh, and I hear
give Rodgers both guys, put Devontae on one side and Brown on the other, and it's just like Juju and AB in Pittsburgh.
I was going to say, I hear they've got a pretty good quarterback in Green Bay, too, that might make sense.
He fell off a little
bit. I've heard he's decent, though. JRay78 said, explain to me why Jerry Jones has kept Jason Garrett for 9 years, barely winning, and fired Jimmy Johnson after winning 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. Hashtag shaking my head.
I even thought it was 10 now with Garrett, but yeah, it's a long run.
Yeah.
But as they were talking on your favorite show this morning, the one thing that they said about the Garrett situation.
My favorite show this morning.
Yeah, on.
Sit Down?
Well, either Get Up or First Take. Oh, one of the two. But I just heard it out of the corner of my ear.
Oh, nice.
But they said it's a very unique situation because you know you're playing second fiddle, decision-wise and otherwise, to Jerry Jones. Attention-wise.
You are.
Media-wise. And most head coaches that have experience in this league ain't getting into all that.
No, somebody jumped on me. Yesterday or the day before for saying that Garrett was a yes man. He's like, oh, everybody's a yes man. If you have a boss, you're a yes man. Nah.
Not necessarily.
How many teams' general manager is their owner?
I was going to say, first and foremost, have you ever met my friend Nick Sharara? Nick is not a yes man. Nick will tell just about, there's one person that he wouldn't say anything to, and that's David Gout. Everyone else, Nick is not going to be a yes man. So, no, I mean,
there's so many examples. Bill Belichick, Greg Popovich in basketball. I mean, those are the two easy ones.
Yeah.
But like I said,
Parcells, these are guys that are kissing people's asses.
Jerry Jones is the GM. So find me another situation in any sport where the owner is the general manager. You can't.
Right. You can't.
I'm not going to speak for MLS. I don't know MLS, but I'm saying of the majors, I don't think that's going to be surfacing anytime soon.
No, it's not common at all. It's not common at all. You usually have an owner and a general manager. Like I said, a lot of times when you have that structure, that hierarchy, it's because the general manager, not only does he do like roster changes, but he kind of serves as a buffer between him and the players. That's why you tend to see players give more praise to the owners of teams, as opposed to general managers, because their interactions are a lot more limited.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's just the nature of hierarchies in the NFL and the NBA. And like Joel said, I don't watch MLS, so I couldn't tell you.
And in the business world, when you think about it, the boss that you have the least interaction with, you maybe have the best relationship with because you're not in the trenches every day. I mean, like us, we fight like we're married, like we're couples, but it's because we're around each other every day. But then when we come in contact with our other coworkers or bosses, it's completely different because you're not butting heads all the time. And you can imagine as passionate as a sport as football is, and there's a lot of that that goes on where you're butting heads if you're every day, your coach, your players, and all that stuff that stays in the locker room. So that's a great point.
And that's why when we were talking about the whole LeBron sweepstakes, and there was a couple of cities I knew that were not going to be obvious choices for him, Houston, and I felt like San Antonio. Everybody was talking about how, Greg Popovich loves LeBron. Yeah, he loves LeBron when he's not coaching him. Deal with them every day, and it might be a different dynamic. That's not to say LeBron going to San Antonio wouldn't work. I'm just saying there's a situation in San Antonio that Greg Popovich is used to, and he's the man. And whatever team LeBron goes to, he's the man. There's a dynamic to get used to, and it's relationships are always fine and dandy when you're not around them 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier.
Look, I worked for a lot of owners when I was in sports. And the biggest, you're spot on in the fact that if you only saw him in the hallway once every couple of weeks, hey, man, that's easy. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you, too. Okay, great. Yeah, you need something? Okay, I got you. And then you're done. But you're right. When you're talking about your direct report manager or your directors or your VPs, man, there's more days than not when they're under your skin and telling you to do something when you already got 50 things on your plate. Uh-huh. And you know how it goes. It's just, it's a different dynamic.
Yeah. Indeed. Speaking of a different dynamic, I wanted to get this in before the show is. I was fascinated by this. This story dropped yesterday, so we're a day behind on it. But I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on it. And I'm going to read it. It's pretty short, but I'll try to summarize it. But basically, Miami Springs police arrested a woman who stole her date's expensive watches and left with them. Her name is DeLarjere Brookins. Yeah. She was arrested by police and strip searched by corrections officers, and they found inside of her Virginia four Rolex watches.
Wow.
Not one watch, not two watches, not three, four Rolex watches inside of her Virginia. Without a doubt, the most on-time Virginia in the history of Virginias. Never missed an appointment, never missed a period. Always knew what the day and time
was. But you want to talk about going strong? To be able to have the control
and walk around
to grip that and grip them and keep them in place?
Ma'am, you dropped your watch. Oh, no. And then she checks her wrist. Okay, so it says, Brookins, 29, of Miami, North Miami-Dade, met an Orlando businessman, Ramon Diaz, at a nightclub on Ocean Drive in Miami Beach. After leaving the club, the pair ended up at a hotel, the Clarion Suites, which I have another question about that. Then after Diaz freshened up, according to the newspaper, Brookins had left the room and took his Crown Royal whiskey bag that had five watches valued at $108,000. So he's like, hey, I got a boo-boo. And she's like, go ahead, baby. And then he goes to poop, and she grabs the watches out of the whiskey bag and runs out. Now, he comes out of the boo-boo room and sees this, that she's gone and so are the watches, goes downstairs. She's waiting on a cab or an Uber or whatever. He goes, yo, Trick, give me my watches. She busts this dude in the head with something. It wasn't the watches.
Smart move. Knocks
the dude down, hops, and takes off. The police go later. They find her. Watches are gone. Ha, ha, ha. No, they're not. She had hit them in her Virginia.
First of all,
this is the best part. So they said that the hotel employee saw it. Officers swept the area and found Brookins, who, by the way, has a tattoo on her left arm that reads, whore.
Oh, an upstanding citizen. Wow, a businesswoman who obviously wears short sleeves a lot.
I mean,
one of the first questions I always ask about people getting tattoos, were you drinking? Were you drunk?
Whore. Who's getting
you? She has to have been drinking on that one.
One, you've got a woman shoving Rolexes into her cooch. Two, she's got a tattoo that says whore. Three, this man has $108,000 worth of watches that he keeps like change in a Crown Royal bag. And four, he takes her and his $108,000 worth of watches to a Clarion Inn. I'm so confused about
all
of this.
Obviously, he's staying there.
They're suites. Yeah.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, why are you carrying five watches?
Rollies.
Yeah, expensive watches. No matter how much money you make and how long your trip is going to be for business, one makes a statement enough. Two, if you want to make them color coordinate with outfits. Five?
Yeah. You don't need five rollies.
No one does.
On the road with you. You might have five rollies at home. I'm not going to judge you. Spend your money how you want.
But five on the road, and by the way, if you have them, you normally keep them pretty good in a nice place. Not a Crown Royal bag.
If you take five Rolex watches with you on the road, you're just asking for a whore to put it in her Virginia. That's the moral of the story.
Orifices
now,
are us.
I say that. Yeah, I say that, and I only say that because of the tattoo, obviously. You know.
Whore.
Whore.
I should whore. Have,
yeah.
It's whore. A whore. She's a whore.
Yes. What a weird ass story.
Shopping at Target. She's just a whore.
What a weird. I read that and I was like, this is the best story I've read in forever. There's so many questions.
The number of Rolexes is the most intriguing.
Yeah.
Four. That's insane.
Think about four watches. You couldn't even put that in a coat pocket.
Not that you didn't. Rolly with a dapper ranch. Yeah. Not that you didn't have me on the rest of the story. But then I'm thinking, going, what is dude doing carrying five rollies on the road?
That's somebody said five time zones. Come on, man.
Stop it.
You got a phone. You got a phone that can keep track of your time zones.
I do love that commercial, by the way, with the tattoo artist. when you want to make sure you have the best? And he's like, come on, bro. I'm one of the tattoo artists in the city. And the guy goes, you mean one of the best? He goes, something like that.
That is a good commercial.
It is. All right, man. Nick, we wish you all the safest of travels and the best of luck.
Thank
both
you, sir.
We're gonna gambling and otherwise.
We're going to miss you, Pumpkin.
I miss you, too.
So who said, who used to say is filling in?
Tyler.
Okay.
Tyler Scott. Both producer T. Scott's going to be with us 2 days.
Damn, he's going to have a busy-ass day.
Well, he lives here, so it's okay. It's just like going to the kitchen and then going to the bathroom.
You know
bathroom.
What we should do? We should make Michael Carroll come out of retirement and spend a day with us.
He'd hate that.
He would absolutely hate that more than anything.
He loves the solitude of his area. And look at Tyler's turning around giving us another one of these chin musics. No.
He would absolutely hate us. So, yeah.
And Tyler agrees he would hate us. So we have enough of those people in the world. We don't need any more.
Exactly.
All right, Nick, travel safe. We will talk to you on the flip side next week. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. So for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Y'all have a great evening. The Blitz is next. And we'll talk to you later.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.